إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 12th session reading from the Minhaj Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqeedah wal Amal, that is the methodology of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning creed and actions by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Tonight our topic is the fourth point that the Shaykh mentions in this very concise and brief presentation of the Minhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And he mentions 7 points, and this is the fourth of those points. The first point being, what's the first point? The Shaykh mentions first point of this essay, the Manhaj of Ahl Sunnah concerning what? Huh? Thank you, Ya Muhammad. Asma' Allah wa sifatihi. And the first point that the Shaykh makes in the beginning of the 7 points is the Manhaj of Ahl Sunnah concerning the Asma' of Allah and His sifat. And he talked about the differences between them and the rules related to them in brief. The second point that the Imam mentions is, yani, what follows it in importance after the Aqeedah and the Asma wa Sifat, what follows that? The second point the Shaykh mentions, Naam, Ya Sharif?
The attributes of Allah.
First point, Naam. So, I'm saying the second matter that he deals with of the 7 points, Naam.
Methodology
of people's Sunnah concerning what?
Names and attributes.
La. That's the first point. I think we were sleeping tonight, right? But I will help you, inshallah. The second point, the Shaykh mentions, the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah, yani bayan tariqat Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, concerning ibadah, ibadatullah. Yani after the names of Allah and His sifat, yani what is required is worshipping Allah alone, yani with tawheed. The third point that the Shaykh makes that we finished last week is related to what? The what? The right of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, what is the station and the status of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the Shaykh mentioned 7 points. The first of them being what? The right of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Ash-shahada bi risalatihi bil kulub wal alsina wal a'mal. Somebody help me. Huh? The convict, yani, the shahada to the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first right that he has is that we bear witness to his prophethood, that he is the messenger of Allah with our hearts, our tongues, and our actions. That's the first point he made. And then he also made that he has a right that we love him for the sake of Allah, and that we honor and respect him due to his position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the messenger and the best of the worshippers, and so on. And it's a summary of what we have covered up until now. And today, inshallah, the Shaykh goes into the fourth point. But before we do that, the fourth point being the right of the Sahaba, the status and station of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Before we do that, we want to just quickly review some of the points we covered last week from question and study guide number 11. The first question, memorize the dalil, yani the ayat from the 6th surah and 50th ayat, which proves that not even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had knowledge of al-ghaib. Not even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had knowledge of the unseen. Anybody memorize this ayah? Naam. Naam? No, I don't know if you raised your hand or what. Or you're just moving. Naam. Naam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say this, to say to his ummah and to the humanity, that I am not saying that I control the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His rahmah, His rizq. I have no control over this. Nor do I know the unseen. In clear language, the Prophet ﷺ is ordered by Allah to declare that he doesn't know the unseen. And he also said that, I'm not saying to you that I am an angel, that I have any powers that Allah has empowered the angels with to execute His commands. I don't have any such thing. I'm merely Abduhu wa Rasuluhu. The second question discussed the significance. This is a very important matter. Benefit five that the Sheikh gave last week that we mentioned. The significance of the word قُل in the above ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet, قُل لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ. What is the significance of this word قُل in the above ayah and other ayat similar to it? Naam, Mustafa.
When you hear the word قُل or say in the Quran, whatever is going to be mentioned, we have to have very
care, attention.
Naam.
Whenever an ayah came in the Quran, some information from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's preceded by the word qul, the Shaykh said, this is an indication that that particular matter is to be given special care, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave special care to this matter, above and beyond other things that are not preceded with the word qul, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Shaykh said, what? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been commanded to say everything that's in the Quran. Allah said in the Quran to him, what? قُلْ يَا I said, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet, he ordered him to convey everything that has been revealed in the Quran. So when something came in the Quran with the word قُلْ before it, that means that there's special, inayah khasa, special care that is intended for this particular, information, and for that reason it is entitled to begin with the word قُلْ, so that there is a special command to convey this message, to show the importance of it over other things that are in the Quran. Now, this is a benefit that hopefully, if anybody is reading the Quran and they see the word قُلْ, they should call to their attention that what? This is something special. This is of utmost importance. The Prophet ﷺ have been told specifically this above and beyond everything else in the Quran that he had to deliver, to especially, he's given a command to deliver this, to convey this particular message, what comes after that. Now, the third question, how can the above ayah, the ayat in Surah Al-An'am, 650th ayah, how can that ayah be used as a delil against misguided groups who claim that their imams have knowledge of the unseen? How can that ayat be used as a proof? Now, Abdul Haq. Oh, Mustafa. I'm sorry.
The imams are way below the Prophet.
The imams are way below the Prophet.
Incomparable.
Then there's no comparison.
No. And he was the one sent with the message. And Allah says for him to say that he doesn't have any knowledge of the right.
So if Allah ordered him to say he has no knowledge, then what about people less than him? Min bab al awla, than the other people more so. It's clear that they have no knowledge. Now, Abdul Haq.
I just want to add that ayah was preceded by Qul, start by Qul. That's
why there is a specific. And that ayah is preceded by Qul to show the importance, of the care that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the point that is mentioned here. If it's applicable to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then certainly everybody else is less than him, then certainly they don't have any knowledge. Naam. Question number four. Mention some of the human characteristics shared by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all other human beings. Human characteristics. Naam. For example, he sleeps like other human beings. Naam.
He eats and drinks.
And?
Forgets.
He forgets. Naam. He's a human. Huh?
He becomes sick.
He can become sick.
He gets angry.
He become angry. Grief. Happiness. Pleased. And so on. Like other human beings. And
also
most importantly, that he will die like all human beings die. Huh? A death in which his soul is separated from his physical body. Naam. Question number five. Memorize a dalil. From the 39th surah, Surah Al-Zumr, 30th ayah and 31st ayah, which explicitly proves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is subject to death like all other human beings. Musa.
إنك ميتون وإنهم ميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون.
Naam. That saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of which is, Allah is saying to the Prophet, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ, you will definitely die. وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيْتُونَ And every human being is also going to die, and on يوم القيامة you will all be standing before your Lord, يعني disputing the affairs. نعم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has been told clearly that he will definitely die. And there are other ayats that prove this as well. This is one of the ayats that the Shaykh mentioned. Question number six. Mention the hadith which clearly refutes those who say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is physically alive. Yani hayatan jasadiyya, physically alive in his grave, performing acts of worship like salat and siyam and hajj. Now, Abdul Haq. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says in this hadith, and there are a few different narrations of it. This is yani the one that the Shaykh mentioned, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he said that every human being, when a human being dies, all the deeds will be cut off from them, yani they will not be able to perform any more deeds. The only thing that rewards will continue to come to them is from three things. One of them is ongoing charity, sadaqa jariyah. And another of them is knowledge that is continued to be benefited from, that people benefit after his passing, that he wrote or that he taught or whatever, the people continue to benefit from it. And the third of them is a righteous child that supplicates for him. He will continue to benefit from the supplication of that righteous child. As long as that child is living and supplicating for him, he will continue to benefit from that as well. And this hadith is a very important hadith, and it's a tremendous reminder to us, yani, of the fact of the importance of utilizing the time that we have in this world, because yani, everybody has a time that's fixed, and when we leave here, it's over, except from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us from His favor to continue to benefit from. The last question mentioned two benefits derived from Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, from this hadith. Imam Nawawi, Musa.
The importance of getting married.
The importance of getting married. Why?
Because
with the hope that you have a righteous child that will supplicate for you. Now, second point, or another point, Mustafa.
Al-Waqf,
the importance of the Sadaqa Jari, the Waqf, yani, and the tremendous reward that comes from it. Yani, you continue to benefit from it after your death. Now, Fadilatul Ilm, yani, the superiority, the excellence, the virtue of knowledge, and the encouragement to seek an increase in knowledge, and also to what? To leave behind knowledge in that which you taught, on that which you authored, on other means that people continue. And to look for the best, to select the best of the knowledge, and to give preference to the best of the knowledge. There's one more point that the Shaykh mentioned, or so, Naam.
Dua and sadaqa for the dead.
That dua, yani that the dead continue to get the reward from the dua, yani of the righteous child, and the sadaqa as well, the waqf. Naam. And both of them, those two are agreed upon. There's a difference of opinion about what the dead person may continue to benefit from deeds. These two are agreed upon. Allahu
A'lam. You mentioned also paying debt.
Also?
Paying the debt.
Paying the debt, now. The debt also, now. Fulfilling the debt. Yeah, there's some discussion concerning that. I'll refer you back to the Ahkam al-Janaz by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, in which he discussed these matters in detail, those things about which there's difference of opinion, whether or not the dead benefits from the living person who does some act, offering the reward for it to the dead person. Okay, tonight, inshallah, this is our 12th session. And tonight, as we said, we're going to take the fourth point. The Shaykh says, Rabian, tariqatu ahli sunnah wal jama'ah fi haqq as-sahaba, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Yani the way, the tariqah, the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the right of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. By the way, we're going to be reading, yani if you're looking at the English translation, from page 33, the top of the page. Page 33, the top of the page. And we're going to end, yani at the end of this short chapter, page 36, at the end of the page. From Arabic, yani the page, we're going to start on page 24, the top of the page 24. And it's yani to the end of the following page 25. Insha'Allah. Okay, so the Shaykh, he said, yani the topic, the fourth point, of the Minhaj Ahl Sunnah fil Aqeedah wal Amal is the tariqah, the way of Ahl Sunnah. What is the way of Ahl Sunnah concerning the Sahaba? Let me just make a note here that what the Shaykh has mentioned here is really summarized. Okay, he gave a very brief presentation because he's talking about a number of topics, and this is just one of many topics that he talked about on that occasion. So he summarized it. There are a lot of books that if a person was to go back to those books, you'll benefit tremendously. And inshallah, hopefully we'll take some quotations from a few of them when we finish what the Shaykh has said here in order to fill in some of the matters that are also of importance concerning the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the Sahaba. What the Shaykh has mentioned here is a few points, and there are some other points also of importance that we're going to try to include in the end. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى The Shaykh, he says, the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah يَعْرِفُونَ لِلصَّحَابَ قَدْرَهُمْ Yani, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah recognize and acknowledge the worth, the value, the rank of the Sahaba. They acknowledge their position. Not like some people today who say they were men and we are men. Some people say that. They were men and we are men. And what's the difference? And why should we give them some special status? That is the saying of some people who identify with Islam today. So this is important. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah recognize and acknowledge the worth and the value, the rank, the station, the status of the Sahaba that is due to them. Based on what Allah has said about them in the Quran, what the Prophet ﷺ said about them. Yani because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them that rank. وَأَنَّهُمْ خَيْرُ الْقُرُونَ بِشَهَادَةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ And also Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah recognize and acknowledge that they are the best of generations, the best of humanity, the best of this ummah. Yani, in some of the narration of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Khairul Nas. Sometimes he said, Khairul Ummah. But Khairul Nas means they are the best of humanity, of all human beings, after the Prophets and Messengers. Sahaba. So if you think about it, for example, just to kind of put it in focus, imagine if a person had a serious operation, life-threatening situation, and they had the ability to choose what specialist they want to work on them. They would choose the best of people, right? Huh? And likewise, anything of importance, if you had the choice, and if you were putting together a program to educate the people, an institution, a school, and you had the choice to choose the best of the scholars to teach in your school, as was the case in the opening of the Islamic University of Medina, the best of the scholars from the world, not just from Saudi Arabia, from all over the world, from Africa and Asia and the Arab countries, were brought together to establish that Islamic University of Medina, at the head of it, yani the leaders of the scholars in Saudi Arabia, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, Ali Sheikh, Rahimahullah, and Sheikh Ibn Baz after him, and so on. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad also was the president of the university at one time. The best of people were collected for this purpose. So what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلُ الْعَالَى وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلُ الْعَالَى What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's going to send the final messenger to humanity with the message that's going to be the means of salvation for humanity until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has the ability to choose the best of people that will live on the earth. From the beginning of time until the end, other than the prophets and messengers, he chose the best of people that would live on the earth to be the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If that doesn't make the picture clear, I don't know what would. The best of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the best of people to be the companions of his, the best of prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah recognized the worth, the value, the station and the status of the Sahaba. And that they are the best of all generations, the best of all humanity, based on the testimony of the Prophet ﷺ himself, who said, and that which has been confirmed from him, from the hadith of Imran ibn Hussein, and similarly has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and others in Bukhari and Muslim, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرَنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ And he said, the Shaykh said, ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ As far as the last expression in some of the narrations is mentioned in the hadith of Imran ibn Hussein. He said, I don't know if the Prophet ﷺ said, yani after his generation two times or three times. This is how it came in some of the narrations. In Bukhari and in Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best of humanity, of all human beings in the earth, of all times, after the prophets and messengers, is my generation. Yani those who lived in his time, who believed in him. Then those who came after them. Yani after the Sahaba is what generation?
The Tabi'un.
And then those who came after them, the Atba' Tabi'in. These are the best of generations. He said, my generation, and then those who follow them. The Sahaba and the Tabi'un and Atba' Tabi'in. In some of the narrations it says, Khayru Ummati, Qarni. The best of my Ummah. And there's no contradiction. Okay, certainly they are the best of his ummah. But more than that, they are the best of humanity. There's no contradiction between these two wordings. Yani Imran, the narrator of the hadith said, فَلَا أَدْرِي أَذَكَرَ بَعْدَ قَرْنِهِ قَرْنَيْنِ أَوْ ثَلَاثًا. I don't know if he mentioned two generations or three after his, meaning Sahaba, and then two more generations or three more generations. That's how he said in a hadith narrated by Bukhari. In another narrator said, خَيْرُكُمْ قَرْنِي. خَيْرُكُمْ, the best of you, is my generation. Yani the people that he was addressing at the time, he said the best of them are those who believed in him during his lifetime. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari, Muslim, and others. Here I just want to mention, in the footnotes, in the Arabic edition of this book, they mention a number of ayats. There are a lot of ayats. They mention many, and we don't have time to mention all of them. But just to give you a reference, a little bit of what some of the ayats that they mention, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the best of humanity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he praised the companions of the Prophet, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and he promised them al-husna, yani al-jannah. One ayat that they mention of great importance is in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th surah, 100th ayat, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. Yani the first and foremost from the Muhajirin and Ansar. And this is also a point that we should note. First and foremost from the Muhajirin and the Ansar. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and the scholars who came after him made a note that in many of these ayats, in every ayat where the Muhajirin and Ansar is mentioned, the Muhajirin are mentioned first. And this shows that from amongst the Sahaba, the Muhajirin have precedence over the Ansar. And for a number of reasons. So, the first and foremost from amongst the Muhajirin, those who migrated, and the Ansar, the helpers who received them in Medina, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, and those who follow in their way with excellence. Yani who follow their way. Even if you didn't live in that time, if you followed them perfectly, then also it will be promised for you too also. As he said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. وَأَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ, and Allah has prepared for them gardens, tajri tahtaha al-anhar, underneath which rivers flow, khalidina fiha abada, to remain in it forever, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This ayat is tremendous. If anybody had the time to go back and read some of the tafsirs concerning this, you'll benefit from it tremendously. Yani Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 100th ayat. Another ayat that is mentioned here, of also yani great importance, that contains a clear indication of the superiority of Sahaba and their excellence, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fath, 48th surah, 29th ayat, Muhammadur Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, يعني sahaba, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَالرِّضْوَانَ. I want to add this part to the ayat, even though it's not mentioned in the book, just because of the importance of the wording there. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Okay, Allah is confirming, He's the Messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, and then also those who are with Him, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ, they are stern and severe with the disbelievers, merciful and kind amongst themselves with the believers. They are merciful and kind with the believers. And this is very important for every one of us to look at ourselves and how we deal with the believers. What is our position with the believers? Are we أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ or أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, yani where is the mercy for the Muslims, from the Muslims? تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا, you see them, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, bowing and prostrating. Allah is describing their worship. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. This is the shahada from Allah, that they are bowing and prostrating, not to be seen, but seeking the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever wants to say anything about Sahaba, Allah is saying, He knows what's in their hearts. Allah is saying that their worship, it is seeking His bounty and seeking His pleasure. Nobody can talk about this after that. Because anybody else can say, he's just showing off. We don't know what's in anybody's heart. But people can say that. You can't say that about the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The last ayah I want to mention, and like I said, there are many, is also from Surah At-Fath, and the 48th surah, 18th ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. That indeed, definitely Allah was pleased with the believers, yani the Sahaba, who gave oath to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam underneath the tree. And then they mention other ayats, and there are many. And Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentions Aqidah Wasatiyah, yani a good selection of ayats. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, has explained them in a beautiful way. After this, the Shaykh, he says, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, فَالسَّحَابَةُ خَيْرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِلَا شَكٍ. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anhum, they are the best of this ummah, without doubt. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ عَلَى مَرَاتِبٍ. But they are on different levels. They are not all on the same level. So this is one thing, that they are the best of humanity, and then there is another matter, but they are not all on the same level. They are not all equal in terms of virtue and excellence, and some of them being preferred or superior over others. لَكِنَّهُمْ عَلَى مَرَاتِبٍ بَعْدُهُمْ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ بَعْدٍ. Some of them are better than others, are preferable, are superior, more virtuous than others. That's a fact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Hadid, 57th surah, 10th ayat, لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلَ. That those amongst you who have spent before the Fatih Mecca, yani before the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, those of you who spent before that time and who fought before that time are not equal with those who spent after that time and fought in jihad after that time. They are not equal. Allah is saying they are not equal. لا يستوي منكم, يعني من الصحابة, that you are, there is no equality between you from those who spent before the fat and fought and those who spent after. أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من قبل وقاتلوا. That these who spent and fought before the Fatih Makkah, يعني before the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, as Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah explained it, and some of the scholars of Tafsir explained that the meaning of Fath here means the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. That's one of the opinions of the scholars of Sunnah. He said that those who spent and fought before the Fath, these they are greater in their daraja than those who spent also and who fought, but after. They are greater. أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً. That's the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ حَسْنًا. And Allah has promised to each of them, those who came before and those who came after, Allah has promised to them al-husna, yani al-jannah. The Shaykh mentioned second ayah, وقال الله تعالى لا يستوي القائدون من المؤمنين. Likewise, those who remain behind from amongst the believers, they are not equal, and this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an exception from those who remain behind, غير أولي الضرر, yani those who, other than, not including those who have yani some handicap or some difficulty which yani prevent them from going out. Those are excluded. But those who have no reason to remain behind, لا يستوي القائدون من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم. And those who went out and fought in the way of Allah with their wealth and their lives, they are not equal. لا يستوي. فضل الله المجاهدين بأموالهم وأنفسهم. Yani Allah has given preference, excellence, superiority to those who went out and fought with their wealth and their lives. This is Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 95th Ayat. After mentioning these two ayats, the Shaykh makes another point. Walakin, yani the Sahaba, they are the best of humanity, but they are not equal. They are not all on the same levels. Walakin ma hadhi al-maratib wa hadhi al-fada'il yajibu an na'rifa anna al-wahida fihim lahu martabatun على الإطلاق وله مرتبة خاصة. So even we acknowledge and we recognize that there are maratib, different levels. The Sahaba are not on the same level. And fadail, some of them have excellence and virtues, yani different than others. We must recognize that one person from amongst them, any one of them, he may have a مرتبة على الإطلاق, yani that he's absolutely superior to others. And at the same time, لَهُ مَرْتَبَ خَاسَ, he may have another level in a particular affair in which he may not be superior to others. Yani, for in general, he might have superiority over the rest of the people, over the rest of the companions. But there might be in some areas, he has a different level in a particular area where he's not superior, rather somebody else is superior to him in that particular area. And the Shaykh explains what he means by that. He said, أَنَّهُ قَدْ يَكُونَ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ عَلَى سَبِيلَ الْعُمُومِ وَالْإِطْلَاقِ ويكون في غيره قصلة هو أفضل منه فيها. يعني it may be that a person, he is the better than the others. If you look at it in the absolute sense or in the general sense, على سبيل العموم والإطلاق. In the absolute sense, in the general sense, he's superior to others. However, there may be someone other than him who has a خصلة, a particular characteristic. In that particular thing, that person is superior to the one who's better than everybody overall. Yani somebody has the overall superiority, there may be other people who is less than him in the overall superiority who are superior to him in certain aspects, in certain characteristics or qualities or traits. So the Shaykh here is making a fine point that yes, there's Sahaba who are afdal than the rest, and then even there are some who are less than them, in certain areas they are superior to them. Next point, the Shaykh says, وَأَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ أَفْضَلَ الصَّحَابَ الْخُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْبَعَ. The Ahlu Sunnah Jama'ah, they say, state clearly, this is the position of Ahlu Sunnah Jama'ah, that the best of the Sahaba are the Khulafa al-Arba'a, yani the four righteous, rightly guided Khalifas, that they are the best of the Sahaba. Before we say that, yani Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah said, yani that the best of the Sahaba, and I alluded to it in the ayah, are the Muhajirun, and then the Ansar. From amongst the Muhajirun, the best of them are the four Khalifas. So these are also levels. These are also levels. The best of the Sahaba are the Khulafa al-Arba'a. They are the best of Sahaba. And from amongst, and they are from amongst the Muhajirun, who are the best from the group of amongst the Sahaba. وَأَفْضَلُهُمْ أَبُو بَكْرَ ثُمَّ عُمَّ ثُمَّ عُثْمَانَ ثُمَّ عَلِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Then the best of them, of those four, is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And then after him, second is Umar, and then Uthman, and then Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Yurattibunahum, yani Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, yurattibunahum fil fadl hasab tarattibihim fil khilafa. And this is also an issue that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah discusses, and Shaykh al-Islam explains in detail. We don't have time to explain it here. But the point is, there's a difference between the order of preference in terms of superiority in virtues and the order of the Khilafah. Okay, there may be some difference amongst some of the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah in the early generations between who is better, between Uthman and Ali. But as far as the Khilafah, there's no difference of opinion. There's no difference of opinion that Uthman had more right to the Khilafah than Ali. This is the point about which yani you have to distinguish between two different issues. So there, order of preference, of excellence, is in the order of their Khilafah. Who was the first Khalifa? Abu Bakr. Who was the second Khalifa? Umar. Who was the third Khalifa? Uthman. Who was the fourth Khalifa? Ali. So they are, yani, giving the preference and the excellence and the superiority of them over one another is in the order of their Khilafah. The best of them is Abu Bakr, yani he was the first Khalifa, and so on like this. Walakin, here the Shaykh makes another, yani, subsidiary point. ولكن لا يلزم من كون أبي بكر رضي الله عنه أفضل الصحابة. Here it says أن, it should be أن لا. In the Arabic text, it should be أن لا. لكن لا يلزم من كون أبي بكر رضي الله عنه أفضل الصحابة ألا يتميز أحد من الصحابة عن أبي بكر بمنقبة خاصة. جزاك الله خير. Okay, so yani, that being said, that the best of them, yani, are the four Khalifas, and in that order, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. However, this doesn't necessitate that the fact that Abu Bakr is the best of Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, it doesn't necessitate or it doesn't prohibit that there being anyone from amongst the Sahaba who yatamayyaz an Abu Bakr bimanqiba khasa. It doesn't prohibit there being another companion who has certain particular virtue or excellence or yani merit, in which case he is distinguished as being superior even to Abu Bakr in that particular area. He has something that distinguishes him even above Abu Bakr. The Shaykh says, yani, for example, قد يكون لعلي بن أبي طالب منقبة ليست لأبي بكر. يعني علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه, maybe he has some virtue, some merit, some characteristic of excellence that Abu Bakr didn't have. Even though Abu Bakr overall is superior, right, to Ali and everybody else. It might be that Umar, he has some merit, some virtue, some excellent characteristic that Abu Bakr doesn't have. Right? It may be that Uthman, radiallahu anhu, has some merit or some excellence that Abu Bakr doesn't have. Even though Abu Bakr is superior to all of them and everybody else from amongst the Sahaba, but there might be some from amongst them who have some superiority, yani, in a particular area over even Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. ولكن الكلام على الفضل المطلق المرتبة الكلية العامة. So, but rather what we are talking about here, we're not negating that, that there may be some from amongst them who are in the general sense less than him in excellence, we're not negating the fact that they may have some virtue or some merit that's superior to him in that particular area. But the Shaykh is saying, walakin al-kalam, but what we're talking about here is al-fadl al-mutlaq, yani the absolute superiority in general, al-martaba al-kulli al-ama, the general overall yani level, station of superiority of Abu Bakr over all the rest of the companions. For indeed, the maratib of Sahaba takhtalif, ikhtilafan ittafaqa alayhi ahli sunnah wa jama'ah. Yani the Sahaba, they differ, some of them being preferable, superior to others. And this difference is something that's agreed upon by Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. There's no difference of opinion. That there is a difference between them. That some of them are more excellent than others, overall or in specific areas. And this is also indicated by the Quran, and it's also indicated by the Sunnah. And this, difference or superiority of some over others is indicated here. The Shaykh says in the incident of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with both of them, tanaza'a fi amrin, yani they disputed about a matter, they had some difference, and Khalid ibn Walid, he said radiallahu anhu some words harshly to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recognizing the superiority of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf over Khalid ibn Walid, who's Khalid ibn Walid? Who's Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu? Yani subhanallah, where all that he did, yani in support of the deen of Allah, and fighting in jihad, and defeating the enemies of Islam, and yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling Khalid, take it easy, this is Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, you are not equal, wallahi, you are not equal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Khalid ibn Walid, and this hadith is a hadith that we use in general to show the superiority of the Sahaba. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about two companions, one of them being superior to the other, to the extent that he said to Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, لا تسبوا أصحابي, do not revile, do not abuse my companions, meaning don't talk to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf like that, do not revile my companions. فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسِي, in the Arabic text is a mistake here, right? Should be نَفْسِي. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ أَنْفَقَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِثْلَ أُحُدٌ ذَهَبًا مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّ أَحَدِكُمْ وَلَا نَصِيفَهُ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, don't revile my companions, don't talk like this to him, for I swear by the one in whose hand is my life, if one of you, yani like Khalid ibn Walid and those who are on his level, if one of you were to spend in charity in the way of Allah the like equal to the mountain of Uhud in gold. Has anybody seen the mountain of Uhud? I know we saw it, right? The mountain of Uhud, subhanAllah, you can't even see the end of it. That's how far it goes. A big mountain that you can't even see the end of it. To drive around, you're going to get in a car and drive around it. You can't even walk around it. He said, if one of you were to spend in charity gold equal to the mountain of Uhud, it wouldn't have reached, it wouldn't have been equal to what one of them, like Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, spent just in charity a handful, like putting two palms together, a mud. That little bit of charity, your mountain of Uhud and gold wouldn't be equal to it. Not even half of it, the Prophet ﷺ said. That's the superiority of some Sahaba over others. What about the superiority of Sahaba over regular people who say they are men and we are men? I mean, this is dangerous. It's very dangerous. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Then the Prophet, then the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, كَذَلِكَ أَيْضًا أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ بَعْدَ الصَّحَابَ لَهُ مَزِيَّةٌ لَيْسَتْ لِغَيْرِهِمْ. And likewise, we also acknowledge and recognize Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, and we say that some of the Sahaba have a maziyah, certain virtue, merit or excellence that the others of Sahaba do not have. And they have something special that nobody else has, or most of the people don't have. So it is obligatory for us, أَن نُنَزِّلَهُمْ فِي مَنَازِلِهِمْ, to put everybody in their place where they belong. Yani meaning give them the respect that's due to them. Somebody may have something that nobody else has, or very few people have. So if, for example, a companion of the Prophet ﷺ was from Ali Bayt al-Rasul ﷺ, if a companion was from the family, the household of the Prophet ﷺ, like Ali ibn Abi Talib, wa Hamza wa Abbas wa Ibn Abbas wa ghayrihim, somebody from the direct family of the Prophet ﷺ, like Ali and his uncle Hamza and his uncle Abbas and the son of Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, or others besides them, if they were from his family, فَإِنَّنَا نُحِبُّهُمْ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ مِنْ حَيْثُ قُرْبِهِ مِنْ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةِ وَسَلَامِ لَا عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْإِطْلَاقِ. Then we will love that person more than we love others from the perspective in consideration of the fact of his nearness in relation to the Prophet ﷺ, لَا عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْإِطْلَاقِ. Not in an absolute sense that we're going to love him because he's from the family of the Prophet over everybody else absolutely. But in that consideration, we love him more than others who are not from the family of the Prophet ﷺ. And they are also, yani believers. They are also Muslims. They are also, yani, the people who are with the Prophet ﷺ. But the one who's from his family and the one who's not, we're going to love this one a little bit more from that perspective. For that particular reason, we're going to love him more than we're going to love others who are not from his family. But again, the Shaykh said, this is not in the absolute sense. This is not in the absolute sense. Meaning, in consideration of that, there's going to be more love for that one because he's from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than the one who is not. Nasifahu, nasifahu, half of it. فَنَعْرِفُ لَهُ حَقَّهُ بِكَرَابَتِهِ مِنَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So we acknowledge and we recognize his right due to his nearness, his near relation to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We recognize this, we acknowledge this. We give him his proper due respect and honor him and love him for that particular reason. We don't ignore that or belittle it or consider it to be insignificant. We recognize that. وَلَكِنَّهُ لَا يَلْزَمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَن نُفَضِّلُهُ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ تَفْضِيلًا مُطْلَقًا. Again, the Shaykh is saying what? But let's not go to the extreme with this, okay? Because Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah are the people of the middle course. Al-Wasatiyah, the middle course. We don't go to the extremes. So yes, we love him more from that particular perspective because of his right as a family member of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in addition to being a companion. He's a companion. He also is a family member. That thing he has, so he has two considerations here. However, this doesn't require that we give preference to him and superiority to him over others besides him in the absolute sense. Not absolutely, just without any other consideration. Over, for example, he said, مِنْ مَنْ لَهُ قَدَمٌ رَاسِخٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ هَذَا الْقَرِيبِ مِنَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And we're not going to give him absolute preference and superiority over, for example, the person who is firmly established, قَدَمٌ رَاسِخٌ, who's a foot firmly established in Islam. Meaning this person has had accomplishments, has yani done some things in the beginning of Islam, yani to establish Islam. He achieved some great feats. And then we just ignore that and say, well, this one, he's from the family of the Prophet, he's superior to him. No, not like that. No. We give him his consideration, but we don't go to the extreme with it. It's within some bounds. And because there may be some people who are not from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those people yani have greater feats and accomplishments yani towards the establishment of Islam and the support of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than the one who is from his family. Naam. Example of that is like who? Abu Bakr and Umar. And this is because the maratib and the fadail, hiya sifat, the maratib, the levels, and the virtuous, yani the virtues, they are sifat, they are characteristics, yatamayyazu al-insan bi sifatin minha la yatamayyaz biha al-akhar. Yani that a person will be distinguished because of this characteristic that he has, this virtue, this merit that he has, he will be distinguished from the ones who don't have that. So there's some distinguishing here that shows superiority and excellence of some over others because of those yani characteristics. Here I want to mention one characteristic yani which yani is dear to me, especially in the discussions with the Rafida. A brother recently wrote me and he said, can you send us something about the Shiites, because we're having some trouble with them. And this ayah came to my mind. Yani Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 40th Ayah. Yani the Shia, they are famous for what? Claiming love for the family of the Prophet and hating the other companions, except three or so that they claim, yani they didn't apostate after the death of the Prophet. First and foremost, they hate Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And they secondly hate Umar, more than any others, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, and their daughters, Aisha and daughter of Umar, Hafsa. They curse them, belittle them, degrade them, and say all kind of evil things, supplicate against them. This ayah came to my mind, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرُهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ إِذْ يَقُولُ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. To the end of the ayah. Yani, if you, Allah is saying to the people, if you will not support him, the Prophet ﷺ, then indeed Allah has supported him. When they, the disbelievers, forced him out of Mecca, and he was Thani Ithnain, yani, the second of two. Yani, who were the two? The Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr. Allah says, إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. The two of them, nobody else, was with the Prophet except Abu Bakr. Two of them were in the cave. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ. And the Prophet is saying to his companion, and they say, Abu Bakr, he apostated after Islam. Allah has put it in the Quran to be recited until yani Yawm al-Qiyamah, that the Prophet is saying, this is my companion, Abu Bakr Siddiq. And these people are saying something else? What did he do with the Quran then? And what did he do with this Quran? Subhanallah. Yani Allah didn't know what's going to happen in the future, so he made a mistake and praised Abu Bakr, and had the Prophet saying, recorded in the Quran, this is my Sahabi, Abu Bakr Siddiq. And then after that, some other stuff happened according to their lies and fabrications. And then, yani, some other thing was manifested. Allah knows the future. Allah didn't praise anybody in the Quran who he knows is going to apostate and leave Islam and do evil. He's not going to praise them in the Quran for it to be stuck in the Quran until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In any case, I just wanted to mention that ayah because the Shiites, wallahi, we didn't find any of them. Except when that ayah is brought to them, they suck it. Can't say a word. They have nothing. Yani, what are you going to say? The only thing they could do is just like distractions. Bring another subject up. Because this is Quran. It's crystal clear Quran. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, وَأَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ فِي أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ. This is the last point that the Shaykh makes. We still have a few minutes. This is the last point that the Shaykh makes, and then we're going to add a couple of points, yani, just to fill in some of the benefit. The Shaykh says, وَأَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ فِي أَعْلِ الْبَيْتِ لَا يَغْلُو غُلُو الرَّوَافِضِ وَلَا يَنْصُبُونَ الْعَدَاوَةَ لَهُمْ يعني لأهل البيت نصب النواصب ولكنهم وسط بين الطرفين. Shaykh says, so the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah concerning the family, the household of the Prophet ﷺ, لا يغلو غلو الروافد. They do not go to the extreme in their exaggeration concerning respect and love and honor of the family of the Prophet, like the Rawafid do, the Rafida, Shia. They do not go to the extreme. Naam, they love and respect and honor them with the right that is due to them without going to the extreme, extremism, exaggeration, like the Rafida. Make all kind of claims till they put them in a position, family of the Prophet, as though they are not even human beings. Yani the 12 infallible imams that come from the lineage, that they claim come from the lineage of Ali and Fatima, radiallahu anhuma, they claim them to be infallible. Yani, who know the unseen, who only die if they want to control the atoms of the universe, and so on and so on and so forth. Even the Shiites, and I don't know if I brought that particular page with me, some notes that I have. I took it from a book that I borrowed from one of the Shiites, and I wrote from their book because he wouldn't give it to me. I just wrote it out and gave him back his book. Where Shiites in Iran published a book saying the people who believe in this extremism, that the imams, Shiites are saying this, that the imams are infallible, that they have the qualities of rububiyyah. They said these people are kuffar. That's what the Shiites said. I had to write it. I said, if I can't get this book, I'm going to write this down because I'm going to document this. With the publication date, place, everything. Page number, everything. I wrote it all down. So So he can't deny it. These are books Shiites are publishing in Iran. In Qom. You know what's Qom? That's their holy city. It's like it was published in Mecca. By their scholars. Yani, it's published. It's public. It's a publishing house. They're publishing. They got their address on it and everything. They're not hiding. Yani, Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah, concerning the Ahlul Bayt, we do not go to this kind of extreme. In exaggeration of the honor that is due to them, the respect that is due to them, the love that is due to them. We don't go to the extreme. Nor do we, yani, set up, raise the banner of adawa, of enmity and hatred and animosity, like the Nawasib. Like the Nawasib did. We don't go to that extreme either. In other words, the Rafida went to the extreme in praising the Ahlul Bayt, and the Nawasib went to the opposite extreme of hating them. Yani, the Shiites, they hate the Sahaba, other than the Ahlul Bayt, and the Nawasib, they hate the Ahlul Bayt. Two extremists. But the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah, he said, لَكِنَّهُمْ وَسَطْ بَيْنَ الطَّرْفَيْنِ, in the middle, between these two extreme positions. يَعْرِفُونَ لَهُمْ حَقَّهُمْ بِقَرَابَتِهِمْ مِنَ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَلَكِنَّهُمْ لَا يَتَجَاوَزُونَ بِهِمْ مَنْزِلَتَهُمْ. So the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah recognize, acknowledge their right due to their nearness, the blood relation to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, don't go to the extreme, transgressing the bounds in reference to their manzila. What is their station? What is their status? What is their position? We don't go to the extreme with this. And here I want to mention, yani, a fa'ida that I went back to check and see if it was translated in the summary of Ibn Kathir. Because, you know, the summary of Ibn Kathir, even though it's 10 volumes, it is really a summary. A lot of information has been left out from the translation of Tafsir Ibn Kathir by Dar al-Salam. And it's a good translation, and it's benefit, tremendous, yani, treasure. But some things were left out. I went back to check, and it's there, right? This statement is in the Tafsir Ibn Kathir. And this is a benefit concerning the Shiites. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Fat. Naam, Surah Al-Fat. Is it Surah Al-Fat? Muhammad Rasulullah wal-ladhina ma'ahu ashidda. Naam. Surah Al-Fat, Ayah 29. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad Rasulullah wal-ladhina ma'ahu ashidda ala al-kuffar. And the ayah we read earlier, right? That in those who are with them, they are severe against the disbelievers and merciful amongst themselves. And you see them prostrating and bowing, seeking the fadl, the bounty of Allah and His pleasure. And the sign, simahum, their signs are in their face from the effects of the sujood, their prostration, their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the example in the Torah. Then Allah says, and the example in the Injil, kazar'in, akhraja shatahu. This is the example of Sahaba. This is the example of the Sahaba in the Injil. Kazar'in, akhraja shatahu, fa'azarahu, fa'staghlava, fa'stawa ala suqih. يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاءَ لِيَغِيذَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْهُمْ, يعني من الصحابة, مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. يعني the example is the example of the zara, يعني the seed that's planted, يعني in the earth to grow. فَأَخْرَجَ شَطَهُ, so it brings forth its, يعني what do you call it? Stalk. فَأَزَرَهُ, and then strengthens it. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, yani his companions come forward and he strengthens them. فَاسْتَغْلَظَ, then they became strong. فَاسْتَوَ عَلَى سُوْكٍ, then they stood upright. يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّى, the sowers, the people who are planting the seed, they are pleased by what they see coming out of the ground, they are pleased by it. But other people are not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the Sahaba forth in the form that He brought them forth, لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ, in order to anger, to enrage the disbelievers. The Sahaba, yani their excellence and their superiority and what they did in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ angered the disbelievers. It enraged them. They hated it. Huh? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who believe and do good deeds from amongst them forgiveness and a great reward, al-Jannah. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, when he explains this ayat, he says, وَمِنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ إِنْ تَزَعَ الْإِمَامُ مَالِكِ رَحِمَهَ اللَّهِ في رواية عنه بتكفير الروافد. يعني الحافظ ابن كثير says from this ayah الإمام مالك رحمه الله has derived, has extracted in a narration from him the takfir of the Rawafid, that the Rawafid, that they are kuffar, based on this ayat. Why? الَّذِينَ يُبْغِذُونَ السَّحَابَ, because they are those who hate the companions. Imam Malik said, قَالَ لِأَنَّهُمْ يَغِيذُونَهُمْ, because the companions enrage them, yani the kuffar. وَمَنْ غَاذَ السَّحَابَةُ, and whoever the sahaba enrage, فَهُوَ كَافِرُ. Subhanallah. So when people hate the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a sign of what? Of kufr. Sign of kufr. And then Ibn Kathir, he says, yani based on this ayat, he says, وَوَافَقَهُ طَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ, and a group from amongst the scholars are in agreement with Al-Imam Malik on this particular point. And the hadith are many concerning the excellence of Sahaba and the prohibition of mentioning yani anything about them that is not pleasing. And what is sufficient yani to know the station of Sahaba, Ibn Kathir says, is the praise of Allah upon them, and Allah being pleased with them, and they being pleased with Him. Okay, we just have a few minutes. I'm going to refer you to a book. Inshallah, I'll send the PDF. Somebody please remind me. Oh, I don't need to be reminded. I won't forget. Inshallah. A very important book written by one of the contemporary scholars of today, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad. Hafizahullah. May Allah protect and preserve him. He's the scholar in Medina who, when the Shiites came to Medina and said, we want to have a discussion with the scholars of Sunnah in Medina, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad said, there can't be any discussion unless we first agree. What's going to be the basis if we differ? And we're just going to talk? And there has to be some criterion that we're going to agree upon from the beginning. If you agree to the criterion that whatever we differ upon, we're going to refer back to the Quran and the Sunnah, we'll talk. Otherwise, why are we talking? About what? We don't have time to waste. I don't know about you people, maybe you have time to waste. We don't. They didn't agree. So they didn't sit. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad, Hafizahullah, he wrote a book called Aqidat Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah fi Sahaba. In English, they put the title on it, Manhaj Ahl Sunnah. But the original book in Arabic is Aqidat Ahl Sunnah fi Sahaba. In that book, a very short book, in Arabic, maybe it's 10 or 15 pages. And not much more than that in English. It's translated into English. In that book, there are a number of things that are mentioned. I just want to read quickly some of it. Well, before that, let me just say, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he explained who is the Rawafid and who are the Nawasib. I just want to get that in first because in case we don't have time, that's part of our study guide, right? The Rawafid. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says in the explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah on page 272 in the second volume, the Rawafid, they are a group of extremists concerning, yani, Ali ibn Abi Talib and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They go to the extreme. The Rawafid go to the extreme in reference to their claimed praise and love and honoring of Ali ibn Abi Talib and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, "Wahum min adallu ahlul bid'ah," and they are from amongst the most astray of all ahlul bid'ah. Of all ahlul bid'ah, they are all astray. These are from amongst the most astray of them, and they are ashadduhum qurhan lil sahaba, and they are the most severe of them in hatred of the sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Whoever wants to know about them, what they are upon, their misguidance, then read in their books. Or read in the books of those who refuted them. If you can read from their books, it's better, right? Because then they can't deny it. The books that people refute them, they say, oh, they didn't really say that. But in their books, it's all there. And I have some of the books. We're not going to read any of it tonight, though. He said, they are called the Rafida because they rejected Zayd, the son of Ali, the son of Al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. They rejected him. When they asked him about Abu Bakr and Umar, and he praised them, and he said that these were the ministers, the supporters, the helpers of my grandfather, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they rejected him. That's how they got the name Rafida, Rawafid, because they rejected the great-grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani Ali was The Prophet, Ali was, or we'll say that Ali and Fatima, Naam, because Fatima is the daughter of the Prophet, and then from her came Hussein, and from Hussein came a son named Ali, and his son Zayd. And he praised Abu Bakr and Umar, and they rejected him. The Nawasib, who are the Nawasib? They are those who set up enmity and hatred for the family of the Prophet, and defamed them, and rebuked them, and belittled them, and vilified them. They are the opposite of the Rawafid. They are the opposite. The Rawafid are those who transgress against the Sahaba with their hearts and with their tongues, yarhamukallah. And the Nawasib are those who transgress against the family of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Shaykh goes into some further explanation for the sake of time. I just want to read some of what Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad said concerning the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and their Aqeedah concerning the Sahaba. Okay, I'm just going to read a little bit of what he said. He mentioned min aqwal imat as-salaf fi sahaba. This is a subject that we really need to study, actually as a separate subject. And inshallah, may Allah make a way for us to do that. From the best of what has been written concerning this is what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah wrote in Al-Aqidah wa-Satiyah and his explanation by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. If anybody reads that chapter concerning the Sahaba, it will be tremendous benefit. In any case, the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, in his book, Aqidat Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, concerning the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, he says, from the sayings of the Salaf concerning the Sahaba, the saying of Imam al-Tahawi, and Imam al-Tahawi in his book, what? Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah. From the saying of Imam al-Tahawi, concerning the Aqidah of Ahl-Sunnah, he said, we love the companions of the Messenger of Allah, but we don't go to the extreme in our love of them. Nor do we, absolve ourselves from them. Say we have nothing to do with them. So we don't go to the extreme in love for them, nor in hatred of them. And we don't mention them with other than that which is khair. We don't mention anything about them except good. And loving them, Imam Tahawi said, is deen. Loving them is iman. Loving them is ihsan. Wa bughdhuhum, and hatred of them is kufr. And nifaq, and tughyan, transgression. Second, the saying of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, one of the famous Maliki scholars, whose book is tremendous, the Aqidah of Ibn Abi Zayd. A lot of scholars explained it, including Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, and others before them and after them. Ibn Abi Zayd, he's a Maliki scholar, they call him al-Malik al-Saghir, because he was from the Maliki Madhab, and he was like Imam Malik, in his stature amongst the people, in his support of the Sunnah, and his defiance of the people of innovation. Ibn Abi Zayd, rahimahullah, he said, in his book, which is the introduction to his Risala al-Mashur, he said concerning the Aqidah al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, that the best of generations are those who saw the Messenger of Allah. وأفضل الصحابة الخلفاء الراشدون, and the best of the Sahaba are the rightly guided Khalifas, that is Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. May Allah be pleased with all of them. And we don't mention any one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا بأحسن ذكر, except we mention them with that which is good. And we refrain from talking about the differences that occurred between them. And they are the people who have the most right that we look for a good explanation for anything that might appear bad about them. And when we think about them, good. Imam Ahmed, in his book Usul al-Sunnah, also a very important book, also explained by many of the contemporary scholars today, Imam Ahmed said, concerning the Aqidah of Ahl-Sunnah, concerning the Sahaba, he said it is from Sunnah to mention their good qualities, the good qualities of the Messenger of Allah, of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them, and to refrain from what has occurred between them that could be looked at in a bad way. So whoever reviles the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even one of them, he is a mubtadiya, an innovator, a rafidhi, Imam Ahmed said. And loving them is the sunnah. And supplicating for them is a means of nearness to Allah. And following them is a wasila, a means to Allah. And taking, their virtues, following in their footsteps is a fadila, is a virtue. And he also said it is not permissible for anyone to mention anything about their faults, nor to attack, say anything evil about any one of them. So So whoever did that, then it is obligatory upon the Islamic authority to reprimand them and to punish them and to not pardon them, but to punish them and then require from them to repent. And if they repented, then it should be accepted from them. And if they didn't repent, then they should return to punishing them and should keep them imprisoned until they repent and go back on what they have said. Imam Ahmed said that. And Imam Abi Uthman al-Sabun, and he said that in his book Aqidat al-Salaf wa Ashab al-Hadith, that the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah believe that we should refrain from talking about what has occurred between the companions and the Messenger of Allah. And if there was some disputes between them or fighting between them, we refrain from this discussion. And we keep our tongues clean from the mention of anything that might include within it, could be understood to be a defect or a shortcoming of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And be careful what you say about them. Don't say something, think maybe it's innocent, but it could indicate or suggest that there's some defect in the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Rather, we should ask for mercy upon all of them and show allegiance, yani, to every single one of them. After this, he mentioned from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, but Allah musta'an. Yani, it's a long discussion, what he mentions from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And I don't want to, it's too long, actually. So, anyway, we're at the end of the time. So I'll save it for another time. But in any case, Al-Aqidah Wasatiyah has been translated, right? So whoever would like to, it's easy for you to go back and it's easy to go back and try to look at it. I need to go back to what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said in that book. And I do hope that inshallah at some point we're going to try to go to it and take it take it up in its entirety. I just want to close with one point, and that is the Sahaba. I should have started with this point. But subhanAllah, human being is defective, right? This is the point I should have started with, we end with it. Yani, the definition of who is a Sahaba. Definition of Sahaba. I'm going to mention several definitions. I'm going to start with first, the Imam, the Shaykh of Al-Imam Bukhari, Ali ibn Madini, rahimahullah. The Shaykh of Imam Bukhari, his teacher, Ali ibn Madini, rahimahullah. One of the greatest scholars of Hadith, specialist in special fields of Hadith, especially in Ilah, defects, hidden defects in Hadith. He said, Ali ibn Madini, rahimahullah, said, من صاحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو رآه ولو ساعة من النهار فهو من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Each one of these definitions have slight little difference in them, and I'm reading them in the order so that you can see the gradual the differences between them and try to benefit from it. Ali Madini says that whoever accompanied the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم or saw him, even if it was for 1 hour of the day, and he didn't see him over a period of time, then he is from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. So the element here that he's mentioning, somebody who was in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, accompanied him or saw him. Second definition, Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari expands on the definition of his Shaykh. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, says, yani chapter, the virtues of companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and whoever, man sahiba al-Nabi ﷺ, aw ra'ahu min al-Muslimin. Imam Bukhari added the word, the expression min al-Muslimin. And whoever accompanied the Prophet ﷺ or saw him, yani from amongst the people who are Muslims, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ, then he is a companion. So this is a very important point, right? Because some kafirs, mushriks saw him, right? They're not sahaba. Third definition, Ibn Salah. Yani one of the most important scholars of Hadith, who his book in Mustalah Hadith is the most important, the foundation of Mustalah Hadith. Ibn Salah, rahimahullah, says, وَاخْتَلَفَ أَهْلَ الْعِلْمِ, the scholars differ concerning yani who is a sahabi. So that which is known from the way of Ahl al-Hadith, he says, أَنَّ كُلَّ مُسْلِمْ رَأَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَهُوَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ. And he now came with what Imam Bukhari said. Yani every Muslim who saw the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ, then he is a companion. Fourth definition. It's only five that I'm going to give. Fourth definition, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, who's also a scholar of Hadith, not just Tafsir, right? He's an imam of Hadith, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir. He said, وَالصَّحَابِ مَنْ رَأَى الرَّسُولِ, the Sahabi is the one who saw the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, فِي حَالِ إِسْلَامِهِ, saw him while he was a Muslim. Because again, some people may have become a Muslim later, but when they saw the Prophet, they were not a Muslim. After the Prophet ﷺ died, then he became a Muslim. Ibn Kathir says, "Man ra'a al-Rasul ﷺ fi hali Islamihi," while he was a Muslim. Not he became a Muslim later on. But he's not a Sahabi. Even though he saw the Prophet in his lifetime, and he became a Muslim later on, he's not a Sahabi. وَإِن لَمْ تُطِلْ صُحْبَتُهُ. Even if he didn't accompany the Prophet for a long time. وَإِن لَمْ يَرَوْ عَنْهُ شَيْئًا. Even if he didn't narrate anything from the Prophet. Whoever saw him, in the condition that while he was a Muslim, then he is a companion. And this is the saying of the Jumhur ulama of the past and the yani of the early generation and the later generations. Whoever saw the Prophet ﷺ, even for a short period of time, even if he didn't narrate from him, but he saw him while he was a Muslim, he's a Sahabi. Last definition I want to give, and this is the definition that our teachers taught us, is the most complete definition. The definition of Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, in his book Al-Isaba, fi Tamyiz Al-Sahaba. Al-Hafidh says, rahimahullah, man laqiya al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First point, whoever met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mu'minan bihi, believing in him. When he met him, he's a believer. And then he adds, وَمَاتَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. Because maybe a person met the Prophet ﷺ, he's a believer, and then apostated. So here he gives three things. They met the Prophet ﷺ, they were a believer when they met him, and they died upon Islam. Some of the scholars said, even if in between that, they fell into anything, even if they apostated and came back to Islam, they also considered a Sahabi. This is the definition that we want to work with. Yani, the companion is whoever met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mu'minan bihi, believing in him, wa mata ala Islam, and he died upon Islam, died as a Muslim. This is a Sahabi. Allahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum. I mentioned that Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen said, the Nawasib, he didn't go into a lot of detail. Nawasib, they are those who wave the banner of enmity for the family of the Prophet. Yani, who are aggressively, yani, in enmity and hatred of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they defame them, and degrade them, and belittle them, and curse them, or speak ill of them. Yani, he said what? They are the opposite of the Rawafid. The Rawafid, yani, they claim to love the family of the Prophet. Nawasib, they hate the family of the Prophet. And some of the scholars said that from those who took on this minhaj of the Nawasib, for the most famous of them were the Khawarij, who openly fought against Ali ibn Abi Talib. Naam. Wallahu a'lam.
Because I wondered what the history, but now you can say
good. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.